idle it by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. Tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. No.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Friday, March 7th, 2025 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us every Friday in this time slot, history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. You've got an interesting topic for us today, sir.
Okay, yes. It's called the Citizen Genet Affair. I don't know if you'd ever even heard of this. I'm sure you've
never even heard of it, ever.
Okay. It will be, you'll quickly see where this is going. Okay. We declared our independence in 1776, and Ben Franklin, especially Ben Franklin, and John Adams, persuaded the French to help us. After the Battle of Saratoga in 1788, it's often called the turning point of the war, the French, it appeared at that point, the French took a gamble. Hey, the Americans can actually win this, and we'll throw our support to them. They didn't want to join a losing cause. It's just kind of human nature. And so they committed the fleet to come over and help us, and some military on the ground. They were very, the French really helped us when Cornwallis was cornered by George Washington at the Battle of Yorktown. The French fleet bottled up Chesapeake Bay and at Yorktown and prevented the English from coming in and evacuating Cornwallis. Cornwallis surrendered. That was the final really big battle of the war in 1781. The Treaty of Paris was signed in 1783. Thank you, French, for helping us. So we had a treaty. All right. So that was with Louis XVI, the king. So there was democratic, and in this case, truly democratic movements in France. And I mean democratic, I mean small d, not so much Republican, or there was some. But in 1789 is the beginning of the French Revolution, when the storming of the Bastille, which was like a castle, which was an old castle where some people were held prisoner, and the French Revolution basically turned into a mob. And there's all sorts of things about the French Revolution. It is often said, if you can understand the French Revolution, you can understand history, because it was very dynamic, kept moving. But anyway, eventually, Louis XVI and his wife, Marie Antoinette, were beheaded, and a new government took over. Now, within this revolution, there were two sets of people, two groups, the Girondists and the Jacobins. The Jacobins were the more extreme group. The Girondists were less extreme. They wanted more of something like Britain's, a constitutional republic or a constitutional monarchy. They really didn't want to behead the king. But as the revolution progressed, eventually the Jacobins seized control, power, under Maximilian Robespierre. And we had what was called the Reign of Terror. 40,000 people beheaded in the Reign of Terror of Robespierre. So that's the setting, what's going on in Europe. Over here in America, we're just, you know, we have the Constitutional Convention 1787. You know, the Constitution's just taking hold. We have the first president, George Washington. In the midst of all that, and there were people in America, what we call Republicans or Democratic Republicans, led by Jefferson and Madison, that basically supported the French Revolution. But there were also others, like especially Alexander Hamilton, John Adams, and George Washington. This is extremist. So that's the setting. I'll talk more when we get back.
Sounds good. Excellent. We'll have our poll results about daylight savings time. Even Pastor Chatfield voted in that one. Short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go, and you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
This from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Systems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. A second segment of our history lesson. Before we get to it, Pastor Chatfield, results of the unscientific poll. I have never seen in all the polling I've done on this show over the last going on almost 13 years, 100% 100%, 87 people favoring spring forward and leave it alone. Now, that would basically be Central Time at that point, right, Pastor Chatfield?
Well, my argument is leave it alone right now. And here's my argument. I'll make it quick.
Leave it alone as far as switching back and forth?
Yes. Eastern Standard Time, period, end of story. Listen, okay. We're on the western side of the Eastern time zone. So when we're in Eastern Standard Time, you know, the sun rises significantly earlier in Maine than it does here.
Sure.
Okay? But when everybody else goes to, if they want to go to daylight savings time, other states, they can do what they want. But let's have all of Michigan stay at Eastern Standard Time. That includes the western part of the United States. So,
Western part of the UP, you mean?
Yes, right, exactly. Western part of the UP. So let's go Eastern Standard Time all the time. Now, that would mean when the time switch comes over, we would, in effect, be Central Daylight Time. We'd be Central Daylight Time 6 months of the year and Eastern Standard Time the rest of the year. But the clocks will remain just where they are right now. That makes perfect sense. By the way, this whole idea was Ben Franklin's original idea. He's the first guy that came up with this idea. And I get the ideas, okay, but we don't need that. How much energy are we actually saving? I would say not much. And you got kids standing out.
Okay, so all of these 87 people are saying, yes, leave it alone. Don't change it twice a year. You're in that same category.
Yes.
The only difference is a lot of them are saying spring forward and leave it, which I believe would put us in normal central time as opposed to Eastern.
If we spring forward, we would be forever in Eastern Daylight Time.
Oh, it would be Eastern. Okay.
Yes. I don't like going to school or having kids waiting for buses
in the dark.
Yes, in the dark, in daylight time. You would be very dark at 8 a.m. And if you're in Eastern Daylight Time in December.
Okay, now the reverse of it, people are saying they like the evenings being more daylight at night.
It would still be at standard time. I mean, it wouldn't be 10 o'clock and 10:30 and still light, but it'd be 9:30 it was standard time. That's my opinion anyway.
Got it. Okay, very good. Well, nobody wants to leave it the same where we're changing it twice a year.
Keep switching. No, I don't want to keep switching. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Tim says prefer daylight savings, but it needed to stay in one time zone. He prefers Central, so that's the argument between the two of you, but I understand what you're saying. The other point is this would make it so that Eastern Standard throughout the winter, we would have basically more daylight in the morning is what your argument is. So
yes.
Kids aren't standing in the bus waiting in the dark trying to get on a school bus.
Right.
Got it. All right, let's get back to our history lesson discussion. But I've never seen 100%. People are tired of changing the clock, so let's pick one and stick with it. Got it. On this point, now, this particular affair that you're referring to, set up the affair as to who it is between, and was it a romantic affair? Is it a government affair? What type of affair was it?
It's a government affair. So we've got the Girdnest, the more moderate wing, but still radical compared to monarchists, compared to Louis XVI, takes control of the French Revolution. They send Edmund Charles Genet, he's only 18 years old, but a well-educated 18-year-old, to the United States as ambassador. And what he's going to try to do is come to the United States and garner support for France in their war against Spain, and especially in their war against Great Britain. We need your help. His argument is this: look, we helped you. We helped you in your war against Great Britain. Help us in our war against Great Britain. We signed a treaty. We had a treaty where we obligated ourselves to help you. You live up to your treaty, America. That's what he's saying. Now, George Washington was, when the war restarted again, the French and the English, they fought over and over, for hundreds of years. They were enemies, and rivals at best, enemies at worst, for a long time, many, many wars. Washington said, what we signed for you was not a permanent alliance. It was simply you were going to help us during this time of our conflict. He didn't view that we had any obligation now to help France in their war. Because when the war broke out again, he immediately proclaimed American neutrality. That's what he wanted. So Genet comes over. He doesn't come straight to Philadelphia, which at the time was where the temporary capital was before Washington, D.C. would be built. And he lands in Charleston, South Carolina. And then he immediately begins to arm private vessels with guns and commission them to attack British warships, British vessels of any kind. And so he basically takes the initiative and says, well, you're our allies, I'll arm these. But that was against American policy, and Washington did not like that. He didn't ask permission to do it. He just did it. And so he's arming what we call these privateers. And and George Washington does not like it. This is in April of 1794. He doesn't like it. And so he hasn't even presented his credentials to the president. There's a diplomatic nicety custom that when you arrive at a country, if you're an ambassador, you present your credentials, your proof that your government has sent you and you represent the government. He didn't even do that. He's in Charleston, and the people in South Carolina were pro-French, and they kind of gladly supported what he was doing. And by the way, at this time, it was a little bit unclear who controls foreign policy. Here was the argument of some people, and especially here's the argument of Genet. Of course, Citizen Genet, that's what they call the French. It's like comrade in Russian. Citizen Genet. Right. Who gave you the authority to interpret our Constitution? I mean, we set up three separate branches of government, and it seems clear to me that the president, the chief executive, he's the one that sets the foreign policy. He's the one that appoints the ambassadors. He's the chief executive. He's the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. But on the other hand, it is true, Article 1 of our Constitution empowers the Congress only to declare war. So the argument went like this. If Congress can declare war, only Congress can declare neutrality. So Genet's argument and some Americans' argument was, you can't do that. That's not the president's responsibility. And so he's down in South Carolina, and instead of taking a ship up to Philadelphia, he takes a much longer route. He takes, goes by horseback, or not horseback, he's pulled in a, what do we call those, whatever they were called at the time, and he stops at every town promoting the Americans to help the French in the war. Even Thomas Jefferson, who was pro-France, was thinking, this is not good. You can't really do this. It is the president who makes these decisions, especially not Citizen Genet, not a foreigner. So he gets up, and finally, he presents his credentials to Washington. And Washington is very stern. He's very angry what's going on here when he finally meets Genet. And he tells Genet, under no uncertain terms, do not do this. That is not your responsibility. Now, within the cabinet, you had Alexander Hamilton, who was pro-British, and you had Jefferson, Secretary of State, who was pro-French. But even Jefferson could see that you can't. This was the first really diplomatic crisis that we had in our country. You can't come in here and dictate to the American people these things. And eventually, when he meets Washington, he basically tells Washington this: look, you're obligated to help us, and we helped you. You're obligated to help us, and if you won't listen to me, President Washington, I'll take my case directly to the American people. I'll work around you. And that really upset Washington, and he gives him an 8,000 word letter saying, "Do not do this." So much so that Jefferson has to say to Citizen Genet, the ambassador, "You really messed up here. You cannot do this. You cannot work around the president and make your appeal to the American people." So, but he did it anyway. He's traveling all across the country, and we sent a letter back to France and said, "We want him recalled. We are not going to work with this guy." Now, by this time, however, by 1794, the more radical group of the French Revolution, the Jacobins, the those led by Robespierre and the committee that he set up, they were starting to execute anybody that had any leanings to aristocracy, and that included the Girondists, that other party that was a little bit more moderate than the Jacobins. They started executing them, and so the Jacobins, they send out a general arrest warrant for Genet. He's in America, and he was promoting the French Revolution, but now you don't have to worry about your government recalling you. They're gonna come get you, or when you come back to France, you're gonna be executed, you're gonna be beheaded, guillotined like everybody else.
Right.
And so Genet at this point attempts to get asylum from Washington and saying, "Hey, can I stay in America? Can I stay in America?
I screwed up, I'm gonna die."
Yeah, yes. And Washington, at the advice of his cabinet, he gives him, "Okay, you can stay here." And he goes up to New York, marries Governor Clinton's daughter, is somewhat involved in American politics, not much, and lives the rest of his days and is a pretty good citizen. And there's some of his ancestors fought in World War I, World War II. I mean, so that's the Citizen Genet affair. It established that, first of all, that the president is able to set foreign policy. He is the guy that sets foreign policy. And it showed other, and we passed something called neutrality bills that kind of, in Congress, it kind of clarified who controls foreign policy. And it also said this: if you're from a foreign country, do not come over here and work around our president and appeal directly to the American people, thinking that you don't need the president. Even when he came over, Genet said, "I am come to appeal to the Congress of the United States." Well, excuse me here. At this point, it's not the Congress that makes this call. It's the president makes this call. And it kind of established some, which is now just goes without saying, that we know that the president of the United States is the chief diplomat. And so that is the Genet affair. Don't work around the president. If you're a foreign, whether you're an ambassador or the president of Ukraine, do not do that. Now, you know, the application here is pretty clear.
Oh, it's coming. Yes, it is.
It's very clear. So you have President Zelensky comes over. Now, he can have his opinion, and I've said this many times. I don't blame him for advocating for his country. He wants our help. He wants our help. We'll talk about the rest of this after the break.
Perfect spot for us to take bottom of the hour news of hour number two. I'm Trucker Randy. He's Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, your award-winning news.